Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life, celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist, and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for all for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, heart, body, and soul. We have another amazing show today. The theme is food for healing and wellness. We're going to explore how we can be in charge of our shopping cart, veganism, and integrative medicine. So a very exciting show. I'm thrilled to introduce my first guest, naturopathic doctor, Talia Shardy. Dr. Shardy is the author of the upcoming book, The Confident Food Shopper. She has made it her personal mission to put people in charge of their shopping cart. She is here to share strategies for making sense of our food shopping experience. Talia, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Lovely to be here.
Well, I love the topic. I love what you're doing. I think it's just so important. I know that we've all heard the old adage that food is the best medicine. As far as the 430 BC Hippocrates was saying, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And I know that there's so much research and work being done on the healing properties of food, and it's, you know, it's becoming so much more, you know, trending and in a positive way, that it's just more talk and conversation, and I know that's where all of your work is. How did you come to place so much importance in food, and why is food such an important part of our wellness and as medicine in our lives?
Well, like many, I find that many people who land up becoming a naturopathic doctor have a common story where they had a health issue themselves and had a good experience and then were inspired by something. So for me, it was in my 20s, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which, for those in the audience who are not familiar with it, it's a chronic illness that has associated a lot of muscle aching. And I mean, I was very young to be diagnosed with it, and I had pain 24 hours a day. It was a very difficult time. So I initially went the regular way. I went to a medical doctor and then to a rheumatologist, and I was put on an antidepressant, which was the treatment at that time for fibromyalgia. And after about 6 months, just something went off in my head, and I thought, this is not the way I need to go. And I stopped taking it, and I started doing some research, and I decided I needed to change my diet. I mean, it was a long time ago, so I'm not sure what it is exactly that I read, but I decided I need to change my diet, and I would say I changed it quite profoundly. I was the average, me 20-year-old, I remember I was eating McDonald's quite frequently. I think I was eating a Mars bar a day, as you know that saying. Not eating well. And over about the period of a year, I went from just being able to not function to being essentially a different person. My pain, and now it's many years later, I won't say how many, but I've been pain-free, and I've really managed it purely with my food. So I find, to me, food was profound, and I still feel that way today when I, although I practice with herbs and supplements and all kinds of things, nutrition and food has always been my passion, the mainstay, I think.
Right. Yeah. Well, that certainly is a very empowering story, because it gives us the opportunity and the understanding of how much change can come about as a result of different choices that we make, and that we can often take for granted what we eat and how it's affecting us and the impact of us, and we can be very casual about it. And yet, we're all biochemistry, and it has such a, clearly from your story, such a powerful impact on but every level of our life. And there's, and again, there's so much research going into it. So the story is very, I think it's very powerful for people to hear this, to realize how much they can impact whatever their health condition is. And this is a way that they can really gain control. So
absolutely.
What do you notice as the biggest culprits in your work and really that really leads to illness and lack of wellness or just different physical even and psychological problems, because of course there is your mood in relation to what you eat as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't narrow it down to one specific thing as the biggest culprit, but I definitely think that lifestyle choices are the biggest culprit for when it comes to chronic disease. And so that would include, I'm very focused on food and diet, but I certainly wouldn't exclude having good downtime, getting good and restful restorative sleep is very important, having support network, and all of those things, the psychological part, are as important. But the food part is something that we have a lot of control over, and yet people don't think about it. I think with all of those things, I would call those the pillars of health. And people tend to think beyond that. Whenever they're sick, I think we're just trained that way through the medical model to think, when we're sick, what can I take to make me better, rather than what can I do to make myself better, or what have I done to get me in this space in the first place? And if we ask the question, what can I do, or what is it that I've been doing, then we'll start thinking about those things. Am I sleeping well? How am I eating? How am I prioritizing my life? My foods, how much do I know about cooking? And so I think that the biggest contribution that we could make to health today is to make the pillars the first line of therapy for all chronic disease. And everything else we call supplements. The word supplement to me is very poignant, because it should be a supplement to an already healthy lifestyle. But rather, we tend to use them more as first line of response for most people. Even those who call themselves health conscious or say that they're not really into drugs, the average person will still say, I have allergies. What can you suggest that's good for that? What can I take that's good for that? Is the first way of thinking. So it's just to the best thing we can do for ourselves is step back and look at these basic pillars and start from there, because they will have the most profound and lasting impact on our health. And I would call them, in a sense, your insurance. So the best life insurance to put your money in are the pillars of health, to invest into those.
Well, I think I love that takeaway, that it's what can we do, not what can we take. Because instead of looking for a quick fix or just putting like a bomb, on a gaping wound, you're really looking at action and looking to the root cause rather than just kind of the surface symptoms and what's driving it.
Exactly.
And looking a lot deeper. But that really then begs the question, of course, is that then a person needs to assume more responsibility for their own health and their own well-being. When you take a pill, you give your power away. How much do you find that people are willing to take that leap, or how much more open are they becoming?
I think there's still a big learning curve for the, maybe I can only speak to the Canadian population. There's certainly a small percentage of people, maybe 10% of my patients, that would come in and they really get it. They're the ones that say to me, I'm not interested in taking pills. I want to change my life. And they definitely have the best prognosis. These people who, they just need some guidance, and They want the information, but they really, and then for most other people, it's maybe it's a bit of a shock. People, it's very difficult for people to change their habits and their routines, and that's quite challenging. It is quite challenging.
I would say that. Right, you need to change your mindset along with changing your patterns of behavior, because the mindset is driving behavior. So there has to be that shift in how you're processing, thinking, and seeing your life and your relationship to these things.
Yeah. There has to definitely be a priority shift, because everybody's busy. You know this. Everybody's busy and scheduled,
right.
And we need to make room for sleep, and for activity and fresh air, and I'd say even hobbies and passions and food and cooking. I just don't think that it's realistic to be able to be healthy and not invest time in food preparation and food cooking and even just learning about foods. And I think once people understand that and they start learning it, it's enjoyable, it's fun, and for maybe a few generations back, it was just, how the average person lived. We're just very out
right.
of touch, but we certainly weren't always out of touch. We're very, very distant from our food and from the farm to fork. So for most people, it's
right.
from the grocery store to the fork, but
right.
there's a big
so
distance,
become...
and I think the closer people get, then the more they can appreciate the food and the process, and probably enjoy it and like it and get connected to it. It's just a disconnect. And when we're disconnected to
right.
something, we're fearful of it because we don't know what it is. You know, there's
right.
some people that have never made anything except maybe an instant rice or something. So it can be pretty intimidating to go from
right,
there. So
right,
baby
right.
steps. Yeah. Yeah, but even small
what,
steps can
what,
be very impactful.
Right. What? Obviously, there are certain foods that would be contributing more. So when, and I know that you have your new book coming out, and the Confident Food Shopper. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's a very comprehensive book, almost I would say as a reference book. That somebody can access information about anything that they would see. So if you take a cereal box, anything you would see on a cereal box, there's the nutritional facts table that most people are familiar with, where you see how many calories and fats there are. There's the ingredients that most people are familiar with. And then there's all kinds of claims that you see, you know, low fat, lowers cholesterol, all of those sort of things. So the book is divided into chapters that details all of those areas and also the things that you actually don't see on the food label. So those are what I call the hidden ingredients, and those could be mercury contamination in fish or genetically modified ingredients, packaged materials that seep into our food, so all kinds of things that we don't know about. And also food certification, so what does it mean to buy something that's fair trade? How fair is it really? And organic, there's a lot of controversy over that. There's all kinds of certifications that are that we'll find on foods, some that are more common and some less common. And those can help people make great decisions that are aligned with their values and their ethics. So it's very detailed that way, and I also have interesting anecdotes and the politics behind food, because a lot of what you see on your foods and what you don't see on your foods, it's not just about regulations, it's about the interesting politics that goes on behind it. So I just really tried to put something together to make it easier for people who, you know, it's quite overwhelming to understand food labels and just...
Mm-hmm. Right. No, absolutely. And no, I mean, I think that we all need guidance in that area. As a wrap-up, Dr. Charney, can you give us a takeaway for the listeners, what they can do in their life to empower themselves to make better food choices? Hello?
So, yeah? So things that people can do to make better food choices with regards to the food labels?
Yes.
I would say...
Yeah.
So I would say a couple of things with regards to the food labels. One is don't give so much importance to the quantities that you see on a food product, because a lot of people will pick a food because of the number of something. So because it's low in fat, or they see it's high in vitamin C, or maybe it's low in cholesterol. So a big focus on these quantities. But quantities tell us nothing about the quality of a food. And so more often than not, if somebody uses, you know, that's sort of the thing that catches their eye and they purchase a food because of that quantity, they're more likely than not to make a not-so-great food choice because of that. Those can be misleading, and they're really distractions for the most part, and they work well for the food industry, but they don't work well for people. And I'll give you just a couple of examples.
We need to wrap up. We need to wrap up. So just one sentence.
Oh, I would just say then that just to focus more on the quality, and for the quality you really have to read the ingredients. So just to focus on understanding and learning the ingredients. That's a worthwhile endeavor. But I couldn't go through all the ingredients.
Right. No. Well, Dr. Charney, we really appreciate your input and your insight into creating healthier living and the impact that we have through healthy choices. So to learn more about Dr. Charney and what she has to offer, you can go to her website, theclassroomdoc.com. That information is in the message board below. And Dr. Charney works with you wherever you are. So thank you so much, Dr. Charney, for being here with us today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking with you, Dr. Bird.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. Okay, well, we gained a lot of tips and understanding about the power that we do have to create betterment for ourselves. And we have so much more to explore on the show today, so I'm really excited. We are going to have incredible insights from my next guest, Heather Nichols. She is a registered holistic nutritionist. We're going to take a short, quick break. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss all the incredible wisdom that Heather Nichols is going to share with us next.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird. My next special guest is registered holistic nutritionist Heather Nichols. Heather offers meal plans, clan programs, online cooking classes, and personal nutrition consultations. Heather is here to share strategies for transforming our lives through simple changes in how we eat. Heather, I'm so thrilled to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Heather, I know that many people are seeking to find healthy ways for weight loss, to gain more energy, or to just boost, you know, nutritional, just better living and better health. You, Heather, are a proponent of veganism, which is the practice of abstaining from the use of animal products, particularly in one's diet. And it's not just a diet, it's a philosophy. As a follower of veganism, why have you chosen this particular lifestyle lifestyle and diet? What impact has it had in your life?
Yeah, I chose to become vegan because, well, the first thing that motivated me to make a change in my life was actually learning about the environmental impacts of animal agriculture. But
okay.
I think it's probably more important to just look at the positive impact that eating lots of fresh vegetables and fruits and plant foods can have in your life. A lot of people think about veganism as restriction and being extreme, but really I find that I get a bigger variety of foods in my life than I did before. I was thinking about being vegan. So I don't see it as restrictive. I actually see it as a way of living that's very abundant, because you can enjoy so many of these wonderful fresh foods, and you don't have to worry about any kind of health impact, any kind of environmental impact, or any kind of ethical impact on animals. So I think of it more in terms of the positive, as choosing to live a positive than as being restricted.
I love that. I love that, because I think that anything that we're pursuing in our life, whether a change or just lifestyle, it's really the first place that we're starting is that switch in our mindset, really. And we have difficulties in making healthy choices or difficulty in creating change when we go to the idea that we have to limit ourselves or restrict ourselves. And that's really important in creating health and wellness in our life, to really understand what we're gaining and seeing it as something that is just so beneficial and rewarding for us, because that's really how we sustain it, and not just that, but that we are able to really embrace and open up ourselves to making different changes in terms of ourselves, in terms of wellness, because it's so important that we... so much part of the conversation, what health is, eating well, and this is certainly an opportunity for people to understand this way and this lifestyle, and open up to if this is something that someone is certainly interested in pursuing or exploring, and just generally. So
absolutely,
how,
I 100% agree. It's so much about opening up. And I find a lot of people think about vegan as being this like hard wall of either you're vegan or you're not vegan. But what I like to focus on is just getting more plant foods into your life and getting more of that positive outlook on life, because the more you add that, the healthier you're going to be. You don't have to be 100% vegan to be perfectly healthy, but the more you add those healthy plant foods, the more you're going to find the nutrients that you get from those foods. It's phenomenal. And you're avoiding a lot of the health risks from some of the things that happen in animal foods that make them unhealthy.
Right. Well, I think that what you're saying, again, I think that philosophy is just so, so powerful. It's important for us to really embrace, and because the reward comes in just feeling better and feeling well in our lives, and when we're, and that's the benefit we get from creating healthy lifestyles for ourselves, whether you choose veganism or you choose just moving towards healthy eating and eating well. What changes did you experience? Because I think that when people are exploring, and I think everybody has a diet, you know, like lifestyles that are right for them. And that's why in this show it's really about, you know, you finding what's right for you. What did you see for yourself? Were you struggling with different challenges, and did you see a benefit as a result of a changed lifestyle?
Absolutely. That's a great thing to highlight. What I found personally is that my energy levels, I didn't realize how low energy I was before, but now that I focus on eating these really nutrient-dense foods, my energy is phenomenal. I don't have that mid-afternoon slump anymore, which I used to have. And I wake up feeling refreshed, and I go for a run pretty much every single morning. I never would have been able to do that before. So I find my energy level is probably the thing that I notice most on a daily basis. And then in terms of other things, there are some smaller kind of funny things. Like, I find cooking to be a lot more fun, because I don't have to worry about sanitation or about cooking things properly so that they aren't going to make me sick. Plant foods are so easy to work with that it's really fun to be creative in the kitchen with them. I don't feel like I'm being constrained by proper cooking technique or trying to make sure everything is sanitized properly. And doing dishes is a lot more fun. I don't have to scrape off congealed fat on the pan and deal with that. So there are some fun things like that. And just in terms of eating on a regular basis, I enjoy it. I used to just think about getting all of the different nutrients and maybe getting the different food groups in, but now what I focus on is just enjoying a wide variety and abundance of healthy, whole plant foods that taste fantastic. A lot of people think they have to sacrifice flavor, but definitely not.
Well, no, I think that, again, your enthusiasm, and it's the whole principle of really just changing our mindset to be open to thinking of things in terms of what we gain rather than what we lose, is a really big takeaway here. And making those kind of mental shifts is really how we can embrace opportunities for wellness in any area of our lives. And so I love your work on YouTube. I see you offer so many, oh my goodness, options and really unlimited possibilities, and you really open up the mind to just so much more of what we can explore. And how did you get into, because certainly you have developed quite an amazing following, well-deserved, and so that's very interesting. How did you get to that point where you started to, open this up and create this community?
I'm so honored that you've looked into my work and that you like it. I have been working in that realm for several years now. I originally started doing videos right from the very beginning because I felt like there are so many recipes out there, and even in terms of vegan recipes, I mean, veganism is still a small piece of the overall cooking picture in people's minds, but there are a ton of wonderful, amazing vegan chefs out there posting these phenomenal recipes, and the only thing I found that was missing, that hole that maybe I could help fill, was actually showing people how to do things with plants. So
right.
There are a lot of techniques that people use in vegan cooking that maybe aren't explained very well in writing. And
right.
I also wanted to show people just how easy and fun it can be to make healthy food in general, whether or not they want to be vegan or not. Just showing
right.
them how to cook these healthy foods and how to cook them in healthy ways. So showing how to water sauté. You know, you can tell someone, but it's entirely different if you show them. And so building a community based on showing those things, I think, first of all, started because people were looking for that kind of information, like showing how to do it. As opposed to just reading
right.
it. You know, you can look at a recipe for 5 seconds and then click away and forget it. But if you watch a
right.
video, you might pick up some little tidbit that's going to stick with you the next time you're cooking. Whether or not you make my specific recipe, something
right.
in there usually resonates with people. And then I think from there, because I post so regularly and I've been posting for so long, people have got to know me. You can get to know someone very
right.
well through video. And I've worked really hard over the years to become more comfortable in video and share more of my personality and myself and kind of my thought process as I'm cooking. So I think anytime
right.
you share yourself fully,
right.
people are going to group around you and create a community. So it's been wonderful to watch, and it's so rewarding. I love reading comments on a regular basis, and it just seems like the more positivity and energy that I put out, the more I get back from people who watch. So it's truly the most rewarding thing I have ever done.
Oh, that's it's so beautiful because it's such a gift to be able to offer so much of what we have and share it and to see the results of the impact that it has and how much that is needed. And so, again, I think that's a wonderful contribution that you're making, and it's just, you've made it easy and available, and you removed the threatening factor for making these changes, whether, again, it's veganism or just understanding of healthy living and different options for including in our diet. So that perspective is very, very powerful. So give us a few little tips on creating a healthy. I mean, you've given us some. So what are a couple of tips that we all can do in our lives to kind of start moving towards healthier living?
Oh, the top three that I usually mention are, number one, water. It sounds obvious, but so many of us are dehydrated, particularly for people who are trying to lose weight or just can't stop eating. A lot of the time, we feel cravings for food because we're actually thirsty. And your body runs on water in so many ways. All of your body's systems run on water, and so getting fully hydrated is so important, and it's something that gets so easily overlooked. So my tips are to keep a water bottle or a travel mug. I actually have my travel mug sitting right next to me right now, and it's full of iced tea, so it doesn't have to be hot stuff. And if you add a little bit of flavor to your water, it makes it a lot easier to enjoy it. So I usually either add a slice of lemon or lime or orange, or a little bit of juice, or a tea bag. Super easy to just throw a tea bag in some regular water, and it turns into iced tea.
Right.
And then the second thing I usually say is to get more fresh fruits and veggies, which, again, most people know this, but it's so easy to overlook, particularly when people are eating out a lot, or they don't have time to make meals for themselves, so they use packaged foods. So what I say is, if you do not have time to make meals for yourself from scratch, just add fresh fruits and veggies to your day wherever you can. Add some spinach to your morning smoothie. Add an apple as a mid-morning snack. Add some extra lettuce. If you go out and get a sandwich for lunch, ask them to add extra veggies. And then for dinner, maybe saute some fresh veggies and add them to a pizza or a burrito. Have some red pepper slices on the side. You know, it's so easy to add these things to what you're eating, and it'll really make a huge difference. Even if you don't change anything else, just that perspective of adding healthiness can make a huge difference in your health, in your energy levels, and in feeling full and satisfied and nourished from what you're eating, rather than always feeding that craving cycle with more and more and more. And then the third thing...
Oh, yes, go ahead.
The third thing I would say is to use more seasonings and, like, spices and herbs in your cooking to make it taste awesome. There's no reason, if you're making food for yourself, that it has to taste bland or boring. Add some chili powder, add some curry powder, make a salad dressing with tahini and balsamic vinegar, or, you know, buy a salad dressing if you need to, if that's what it takes. But make a meal and add some flavor to it, and then it'll motivate you to eat more healthy foods in future.
Because of the benefit that you will get. One of the things that I really love about your message, Heather, is it's just so positive. It's just you're adding, you're creating, you're opening up. So it's a whole principle of not taking away, but really adding, and the added benefit that it gives to our lives. I love your message, and again, I applaud you for the work that you're doing. And for the listeners out there, the wonderful news is you can see lots and lots of Heather on YouTube and on her website. She is Heather Nichols, and that's NICOLDS. And her information is in the message board below, so you can certainly go click on it and get all of this incredible content from Heather, and she'll certainly provide you with lots of understanding and how you can make healthy eating work in the most practical ways and create healthy living for yourself. Heather, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time, your energy, and your contribution to us.
Oh, thank you so much, Nicola. I'm so honored to have been here, and I love how much you've enjoyed what I've had to say.
Have a great day, hon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
So that's lots more great tips on creating wellness and well-being and adding and creating just the amazing life that we deserve. And there's more. Just a quick break. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss the incredible insights from my next guest, Dr. Lori Arnold. Dr. Lori is a board-certified anti-aging integrative pharmacist and the CEO of Heal Yourself Beautiful.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nick the Bird. My next guest is Dr. Lori Arnold. Dr. Lori is an anti-aging integrative pharmacist and the CEO of Heal Yourself Beautiful. Dr. Lori has set forth on a mission to educate on nutrition, wellness, and longevity. She will share strategies and how we can harness the body's amazing ability to heal itself. Dr. Lori, I am so grateful to have you here today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Bird. I appreciate you giving me the airtime.
Oh, it's a real privilege to have you. I love what you're doing, Dr. Lori. I know that so much the foundation of integrative pharmacy is to adhere to the oath to do no harm. And it will hold the patient safely, and it's really about the care and the well-being, the sense of the wholeness in a person. And you have gone from years of training and a doctorate degree in pharmacy, and you've now moved it over into this holistic modality and this whole life and prevention, wellness, and this lifestyle. What made you make that incredible shift?
Well, you know what's funny? I kind of consider myself a rogue pharmacist, and somebody's got to pave the way. And I know there's a lot of pharmacists out there that who have done very well in the natural medicine world and are putting forth the education to try to get more pharmacists on board. But mine just came from years of experience in doing traditional practice. And most of my practice setting was in the hospital setting. And you and your viewers and listeners probably recognize that in the hospital setting, that's when your patients are really sick. And that's when they're coming in with into the emergency room and they're having adverse drug reactions. And that's where I carved out my specialty of medication safety. So that's kind of what shuttled me into natural medicine was for 5 years I did medication safety in the hospital as medication safety officer. And every single day I watched the errors that were happening because patients were overdosing on drugs. And I started realizing the potential of how toxic these chemicals were that the body could not figure out how to utilize them appropriately. And trust me, all the years of pharmacy that I have, I know there is a place. You know, there's a place for medications. There's a place for, you know, especially in the emergency setting that we have to have medications. But there's a lot of medications out there that have wonderful marketing techniques that have been placed in front of them by the pharmaceutical industry, and that really we're not getting to the root cause of what's causing the patients to have the symptoms in the first place, putting a Band-Aid on them. And that's when I got frustrated, because my own experience with being sick and getting sicker because I was on those drugs that actually caused detrimental, long-lasting, permanent side effects for me, now I made it my personal mission to make sure that doesn't happen to other people. So that kind of carved the path for me.
Wow. I mean, this is just an incredibly juicy topic, that's for sure. And it has so many layers and so many avenues to be explored. So, well, let's try and keep it focused on the one thing about how we can create more wellness in our own lives. And I'm interested in your own journey, because you talked about being sick, and I think our own stories and journeys are always so powerful and inspirational. So what were you addressing in your own life, and how did you heal it through natural methods?
You know, mine started very, very early on. And so I'm one of those, I call myself a human petri dish for the pharmaceutical industry. And interestingly enough, the last 5 years of my career was spent working as a medical liaison for the pharma industry. So I got to see kind of all sides of the story. But when I was sick, I was diagnosed with asthma. I was put on asthma medications, but I also was put on tons of antibiotics, put on tons of steroids. And so all of these medications basically just turned into a domino effect. And what they don't tell you is the longer that you're on those medications, the more damage they do that's not reversible. And it would just kind of topple on top of each other. And it became a thing to where even in my teens, then all of a sudden I started having menstrual issues. And in my 20s, I ended up with gallbladder disease because they put me on birth control in my teens to help with the menstrual issues. And one of the side effects of birth control pills is gallbladder disease. And these are things that we don't even think of. And I'm writing about it in my book that's coming out this summer so that you can kind of see how all these things build on. But it kind of crescendoed for me last year, and I had no control over it because I live a very healthy lifestyle. I'm gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free. I exercise. I'm totally into wellness and health and nutrition. But I got very, very ill last May, and the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, but I became severely depressed and suicidal. And they just giving me the diagnosis of anxiety, depression disorder, and midlife crisis while we were at it, because I had just turned 40. And I said, something is wrong. I know myself. I know my body. I'm very intuitive with myself. And I said, I know something's wrong. And they kept sending me to more specialists. So 14 practitioners later and several prescriptions were written, which I stuck in my book as bookmarkers because I never took any of those drugs, by the way, which is kind of funny from a pharmacist. And I treated it with nutrition, and every symptom that would arise, I would start treating with nutrition. And I started doing Reiki, which is energy healing, and I started doing more yoga and being very gentle and kind to my body and trying to keep in tune with every time I get a symptom, I was like, how am I going to treat this? But I still didn't know what I was treating. I just knew my body's shutting down. What do I do? And it was in September of last year when I discovered that I have black toxic mold. Stachybotrys is the name of the strain in my condo. And so I literally had been poisoned. And that was caused all the issues was black toxic mold poisoning, which will start off as respiratory symptoms, and I have asthma, so I just kind of discounted those symptoms because I have those anyways. But the depression, the brain fog, I went on medical leave from work for 9 months because I couldn't think. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And when we did figure out that it was toxic mold, I could not get one practitioner to treat me because they didn't know how to treat it. So
how common is this?
You know what? Toxic mold, if you've been watching the news and paying attention, actually and I was going to have my book out earlier. Unfortunately, I didn't get it finished on time, but Suzanne Somers just released her book, talks out something like that. Her book, because she had been exposed to toxic mold poisoning, and the symptoms are very similar to Lyme disease. And so it really goes unnoticed in the community. And I started following a lot of the forums online as far as people who had been exposed because of Hurricane Katrina caused a lot of people with toxic mold poisoning. And if you do not catch it early on and you don't start treating and detoxing your body of this toxic mold from your system, it can become permanent. And that's when you have the neurologic defects, and it can actually cause cancer.
Wow.
So it's really important to immediately, when you start having symptoms, start treating the symptoms. You have to start recognizing the nutrition and the first thing I started doing when I started recognizing that my brain was not working appropriately was to start my affirmations. And I'm a big, big fan of Louise Hay. And so I started my healing affirmations with Louise Hay through her books. And I started going regularly. And when I say regularly, I mean either every week or every other week to a Reiki master. And he would do energy clearing on me because toxic mold causes severe anxiety and anger. And so it'll take a person who, like me, is very calm and gentle and turn you into a very angry person. And your family and friends don't know how to handle it because they're not sure what's wrong with you. So energy healing was really important.
And what you're saying is so powerful, but tell me a little bit more, like, so if anyone, because I certainly have not heard of it. How common is it? How do we get it? What is it derived from?
Sure. So toxic mold can happen several different ways in your home. So it can happen either environmentally or you can ingest it. So you can actually get mold poisoning from foods. So you can get it from like raw nuts can have a lot of mold on them. Coffee beans actually have been known to have a lot of mold in them. And then if your food stays in your fridge too long and it can grow the mold, and we kind of said, you know, I knew growing up, it's like, oh, that's penicillin, so it's okay, right? We can just eat it because a dose of penicillin won't hurt us. Well, there's a certain percentage of the population who are genetically predispositioned to react to mold. And then the other people will not. So you could have a family of five and they have mold grow in their house, and three of those people will react to two of those will not. So that's why it's an anomaly, because you can never figure out who's got that genetic marker to where they're going to be more predisposed to it. So you can get it from food. That's one way. And then another way is from the environment. And so a lot of people, like when I said Hurricane Katrina, it would grow out of a flood. So if a flood, a lot of people, when they have a flood in their house or their water main breaks or a line in their house, their fridge or their washer machine will break, and they'll fix it, but then they see that black mold kind of growing up the side of the wall, and you don't think much that it could be very harmful. If you're genetically predispositioned, it's very harmful. And if it grows out that black stachybotrys, and it can be black mold and not be stachy, but if it's stachybotrys, that's the one that causes all of these neurological deficits. And so it's very dangerous. And it's really dangerous for kids and pets. So I was very fortunate that I was the only one exposed in my house because I didn't have kids or pets. But if somebody had children or pets who had the genetic predisposition, pets have died from it, children have died, it's really, really dangerous. And so you have to address, like, I'm sure you have mold growing in your bathroom every once in a while from your shower soap. Some people... It can affect those people. And then once you're exposed to it to the level like I have been, or people from Hurricane Katrina, you're kind of more sensitive to it for the rest of your life. So you can get in a situation where there's a little bit of mold and you're going to react to it severely. Like for me now, I can't eat mushrooms and certain foods that are, well, because that's a fungus. And so basically there's certain foods I can't have because I start feeling a reaction to that. I'll get stuffed up or... it'll react to my asthma. So it's unfortunately a lifelong thing now, because now I'm super sensitive to the mold. There are tests that you can do. There's a very few handful of practitioners who can treat this, and mainstream medicine doesn't recognize it yet because they don't know how to treat it. So mainstream was looking for a diagnosis they were comfortable with me. So they diagnosed me with rheumatoid arthritis. So I actually showed up positive for rheumatoid arthritis on my serum blood levels. However, in the literature, it tells you that it can mimic rheumatoid arthritis.
Wow. Well, this is certainly, Dr. Lori, you have certainly opened our eyes and illuminated, and certainly made us aware of what we don't really hear very much about, and so that information, that knowledge is really important, and I'm so grateful that you're here to share. We do need to wrap up now. Can you just leave the listeners with one tip that they can take away in terms of creating wellness and betterment and health for themselves?
Sure. You know, one of the things that I say, because I do video blogs, and one of my video blogs was about having a love affair with yourself. And in the video blog, I actually said that everything begins in health with the messages that you're sending yourselves. What are you saying to your body? What is the self-talk that you're saying? Are you saying I'm sick? Or are you saying that I'm healing? And so basically, I want the listeners to know that, you know, it's never too late, and you should begin now to show your body, mind, and soul that you love your body, mind, and soul, and you're capable of giving that to yourself first and foremost. And the benefit is you're going to reap the rewards of great health. So you just have to be careful. You know, if a doctor gives you a diagnosis of cancer and says you have this many months to live, it's the message that you're going to say to yourself. It's the talk that you're going to give to yourself of either I'm going to give myself that diagnosis and hold on to it and wear it around like a badge of honor, or I'm going to say I don't accept that, which is what I did, and I'm going to heal my body, and it's capable of being strong, healing, and I'm going to come out of this stronger and healthier than I ever was before. And that's what people need to be saying to themselves to help with disease.
Dr. Lori, I appreciate all of your information, your knowledge, and the inspiration that you have provided with us in terms of your own transformation. So listeners, to find out more about Dr. Lori, all of her incredible insights, her knowledge, and you can check out her website, healyourselfbeautiful.com. It's a fantastic website, lots of tips. And Dr. Lori works with you wherever you are, and you can find her information in the message board below. Again, that's healyourselfbeautiful.com. Thank you, Dr. Lori, for all of your incredible insights and your offerings to us today.
Thank you, Dr. Bird. I appreciate it very, very much.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you. Okay, well, we've gotten certainly a lot of insights in how we can lead the best life possible, and you can certainly get more. Check out my website, www.thewellness-network.com. Join my mailing list. Check out their amazing experts there. You'll get incredible tips and tools and to create the amazing life that you deserve. Thank you for tuning in. Spread the joy with everyone you know, and keep in mind that sometimes you do have to go out on that limb to create the amazing life that you deserve. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.